I love on earth as it is in heaven. I'm one of those guys. I believe we can have it on earth as it is in heaven. We sang a song last night to shake the earth. I believe we can do it. I really do. As Christians, my God is big enough to do all that, and I believe that. I do. I'm telling you, your pastor does. Responsive reading, Psalm 19 this morning. The heavens declare the... Oh, by the way, you're going to do a lot of reading with me today, so get ready. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Praise God, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and in my Redeemer. Hallelujah. Psalm 19. Give him some praise, church. That's God's word today. Yes, Lord. Now, I was told last night how many people were here. And then I spoke to somebody this morning, and so we have to have our own recount. Just saying. I was told 82, there were 87 people here last night, so we gained 5 in our recount. And it didn't cost us a dime. Praise the Lord. We have a lot of people who are, Miss Karen had her tonsils out on Friday. If anybody knows of somebody as an adult having that, how serious that was. And Brother Gary and Kim, Gary had, shoulder surgery. Say that, Trita. So he's recovering. He's fine. So and Gary and Kim, and they usually bring a lot of folks. And we know, I'm praying even right now to see Elder Pat when I walk through those doors as soon as we get her here. And I know we're going to love her and lift her up. But we're all praying with her, and we love her so much. But Elder would tell you one thing. She knows. She knows the truth. Even with the pain, she knows the truth. And she's going to be the rock. She'll be your rock when she comes back. I know she will be. So there was a lot of reasons why we didn't, you know, a lot of folks, and I knew today that some folks would stay home. That's what happens, you know, that they came to church last night. But I'm just praying and believing, and the testimony is just God always comes through. He does. In your life today, he just always seems to make a way. You're here today. If 6 months ago you knew everything that was going to happen, that you'd be here today, you wouldn't have worried about anything from 6 months ago to today, amen? But you're here today. God got you here today. In the midst of trouble, in the midst of pain and sorrow, God got you here today, amen? And that's what he's looking for, people who will walk with him through the fires, through the pain, because he understands. Remember, he was with disciples, many disciples, and he looked at them and said, unless you eat my flesh and drink of my blood, you cannot be part of me. And Jesus, notice one thing he did not do, Lisa, he didn't explain that. He had all these people around, and he said, rather you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot be a part of me. And people looked at him and said, what's this saying? What is he saying? This man's a vampire. And they left him. They all left him, and he turned around, and how many were left? 12. 12. And he looked at Matthew, and he said, do you want to go too? And Matthew looked at him and said, where would we go? For we believe that you are the Son of God. And we believe that you have eternity. And we believe in everything that you have told us. Where else could we go? And I say to you today, where else would you go? Amen? God has a way. He has a way. And we have a future. We have another part of the journey. There's a poem that I wish I had it. It talks about a ship. When you're watching the ship and it's going out in the ocean. And it becomes smaller and smaller until it's out of your view. And you say it's gone. But on the other side, there are people seeing the ship coming, getting larger and larger. That's us. That's almost like you can see the transformation of our journey. As we leave here and people see that we're going, and they say they have left, there's other people seeing us coming. Amen. And that's the promise. right here. And today I'm going to tell you how to move God. How can I do that? By giving you this. What is this? His word. So my prayer is that you will accept his word today. My prayer is that you will hear this word today and read it with me today in a way that it moves you again another step further than you thought you were this morning when you got up. Closer to God, Sergio, when you leave here than you thought you knew. But when you look, that's what church is all about. Amen? So that's my prayer, to accept his word, to know that he is there, he sees, he loves you so much that he has you in his hand. He just wants you to love him. That's all he asked, to trust him as that heart of a child. Get that in the heart of a child. See it that way. And then God can move in your life in ways you never thought possible. So I pray that you see that. Receive that. As we read his word today, I pray you receive that. And then you have joy in the Lord. Unspeakable joy in the Lord. I pray for you that you have to tell somebody about him this week, because your joy just gets ahead of you. It gets ahead of your fear and your doubt, that your joy reaches out and say, oh, we got a church where God is just alive and everybody's alive and the joy is there. You can't contain your joy. And then you move people to God. You will change lives. And as you change those lives, you'll change your life. You'll be transformed by seeing God's word working in yours. That's my prayer. In Jesus' name, I pray. Everybody give him praise this morning. Come on, we can do this. You're going to get into this word, and you're going to have to share this with other people. How many know that their words have power? That your word has power. Spoken, amen. What is a word? It's something spoken that somebody else what? Hears. I'm going to start. We're going to go right back to Genesis. Anybody remember Genesis? You're going to have to help me. Words have what? Power. Genesis 1:3. I'll say it the first time, but this is your part. This is your line. Are you ready? This is what I want you to say. Then God said. You ready? When I point to you, right? I'm going to go right from the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Words have power. Amen. Then God, let there be light. And there was light. Genesis 1:6. Then God, let there be a firmament in the midst of the water, and let it divide the waters from the waters. In Genesis 1:9. Then God, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. Genesis 1:11. Then God, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herbs that yield seed, and the fruit trees that yield fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself. Amen. 1:14. Then God, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. 1:20. Then God, let the waters abound with abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth and across the face of the firmament of the heavens. 1:24. Then God, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind. 1:26. Then God, let us make man in our own image according to our own likeness. Then God, hallelujah, he spoke it into existence. Amen. His word spoken into. Now it says in the Bible, it says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him. Now we all have a measure of faith. Some have more faith than others through what they've gone into, but we all have a measure of faith. Amen. So it says this in Romans, faith comes by hearing the word of God. Comes by what? So how do you hear the word of God unless somebody, hallelujah, So when you say it and you hear it, it goes where? In here, and it goes here and here. It goes right into your heart. See, there's power in what? Words. Are you with me? Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 2, it says, therefore, and remember what I tell you, brothers, when you read the Bible and you start reading, you see the word therefore, Pat, that means it. That's it. When God says therefore, that's it. When you follow that next sentence. Therefore, we must give the most earnest heed to the things that we have heard. Hebrews 3:7 today says, today if you will hear his voice. Amen. And then Hebrews 4:11. We're talking about God's word. Amen. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 4:11. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. The word of God is a living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That means when you start to hear the word of God, it gets into you so deep. It moves you sometimes to tears. Amen. It moves you because you're in awe of what God is saying because it's affecting your life. Say, how can something written 2,000 years ago affect my life today? Because it's whose word? And you're hearing it in your spirit. Amen. Your spirit is being fed. And as you feed your spirit, guess what? Your strength gets so much stronger. Are you with me? Now, I tell you this. Words enter your heart. They enter your spirit. Words control your attitude. Let me say that again. Can I get an amen? Words control your attitude. Your strength, you fight depression with it. You give life. You give life to your friend. You give life to yourself. Amen. Words have the power, listen to this, to fill your heart with doubt. Amen? Your words have the power to fill your heart with doubt. Because words have what? Power. What did God do to create the word? He said it. He created it with his voice. He said it. And not only doubt, but what you say matters. Not just to others, but and even more to you, to your spirit. Understand? And I wish it, thank you, Lord. But there's people walking around today. Now, you remember this song? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. And once you start talking like that, guess what happens? Because you said it, and it goes in your ear, what happens? You what? You believe it. You believe it. There's power. And so your words are speaking you into doubt. As somebody said, they're gonna quit smoking. Oh, I got to quit smoking, but I got to take this thing. And if I take this, then I'm going to be miserable for 3 days. And I'll say, why are you saying that? Why are you telling Satan, he's already said, I got you. Satan, you already admitted how bad it's going to be, so he's going to have a field day with that. And the more you admit it, when you take your, if you say, oh, this is going to really hurt, I'm going to take this, I'm going to get sick, guess what happens? You get sick. Because you brought yourself to that point, amen? And I'm not talking about mind over matter. I'm talking about God's word. I'm talking about life. But your words affect who you are. And now your words also, guess what? They affect your children. And your grandchildren and your friends. If you're walking around gloom, despair, and agony on me, the first thing is that people are going to walk away. They don't want it. They want to hear up. They want to hear good. If they want to help you, if you want to pray. But there's people speaking this every day, facing things every day. Oh, I hate my job. Well, when you go to work, guess what's going to happen? You're going to hate it. I hate going to school. I hate the. When you get there, guess what? You're going to hate it because you have spoken it so much that you believe it. And no matter what good happens there, you're not going to accept it because you've already accepted the fact that you hate it. Are you with me? Negative is not God. We confess aloud the worst. The word of God, listen to what the word of God brings life to your body. The Bible says a kind word heals a heart. If you say something good to somebody, it heals them. It makes them feel good inside. And then when you see that person feel good inside, my God, what do? You feel good inside. The words that you use heal people, lift people up. It's going to be okay. I'm going to go with you. Or we're going to help you. Or you sang beautifully. Or you played well. Or you look really nice today. That person carries that with them. If you tell somebody, you really look lousy today, that's going to carry that person all day long. You know, you see one bad thing and they're going to carry that for a week. So that's how powerful your words are. I know somebody, and you know, who one person said something to his singing one time. One person. One. How many? This man sang. He worked with Gene Autry. He was a singer, played the harmonica. This man had more joy. If he was ever here, you'd love him in a minute. More. And one person said they didn't like the way he sang a song, and he didn't sing for years. Oh, I'm not singing anymore. The power of words. And now I'm talking about God's word and whose heart? Yours, and guess who? Mine. Amen? Hallelujah. Now I'm going to tell you something. I wish there were people here to see this and hear this. God is not, say that with me, God is not concerned about how you feel. You're not. Or he's not at all concerned about how you feel. And you want to know why? Anybody want to know why? Because he's already made a way. He's already lit the spark. He's already given you hope. He's given you all you need. Amen? To not feel the way I'm feeling depressed. Well, you just admitted that, but God didn't give you that. Amen? It's not from God. He's not concerned that you're depressed. He's concerned that you don't trust him enough. He's concerned that you don't see him enough. He's concerned that you don't know that he's got a hand and he's going to carry you. That the depression is just here. That he's right here doing everything. So he's not concerned with your depression. He's concerned about your doubt and faith. Amen? It's like if you gave somebody $10. Oh, I'm starving. And you gave them $10 to go to the restaurant and eat. Right, Pat? And you go, and then you see him later on. He said, I'm starving. You say, what? How can you be starving? I fed you. I gave you money to eat. So you didn't receive the money and you didn't go eat. So God is saying, how can you be depressed? I fed you. I have a way. I have so much for you. There's so much for you to do in life. That how can you be depressed? The Bible says, help people. That takes away depression. If you got too much time on your hands, then go to a nursing home and volunteer. Or go somewhere and volunteer. Or go visit a friend who's sick. Or go talk to somebody who needs some companionship. And guess what? All of a sudden you don't have time to be depressed. Is depression real? Absolutely. It's all real. But God has given us a way to get over it. Amen. So he's not concerned about how you feel because he has made a way. And here's the Bible. Say, Pastor, where does it say that in the Bible? Let me tell you. Romans 8:15. For who? Did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Let me read that again so you understand. Romans said, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's why he's not concerned about your feelings. He gave you a spirit inside of you of victory. He gave you a spirit inside of fire to overcome. So he's given you what you need. He said, you didn't receive that spirit to fear again, but you received the spirit of adoption. You're part of his family by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And Proverbs 18:21 says, there's death and life in the power of the tongue. Want to read that with me again? There's death and life in the power of the tongue. And I will say this to you again. Why do we openly confess to Satan our doubts, our worries, our fears of what might happen? Why? Now you said, Pastor Larry, you're going to tell me how I can move God. Do you really want to know how to move God? I mean, you really want to know, because those people that aren't here today are not going to know what you know. You're going to have to share it with them. Amen? But let me tell you what God yearns for. To hear, say that with me, hear your praise. He yearns for that. He says he inhabits the praise of his people. God, who inhabits the praise of his people. So if you start praising him, what has God got to do? If you're in your car and you start praising him, what does God have to do? He has to inhabit your car. Amen. You're taking a shower. You start singing to God. What does he have to do? Stand right there and start singing with you. He inhabits the praise. So God yearns for your praise. And what is praise? Praise isn't reading for yourself. Praise isn't thinking. What is praise? It's outward, amen? When you praise it, and you don't have to be crazy like me. You don't have to. Someday you're going to be, I'm telling you. But you don't have to say praise God at 9,000. But you just say praise God. Thank you, Lord. And my wife will say, what'd you say? I said, oh, I'm just thanking God. I asked the angels to be protection around the car. God listens when you praise him because his word says so. See, I'm not manipulating God. I'm using his word, Sergio. You can do that every single day at work. You can manipulate his word by just praising him. And then wherever you're doing at work, he's right there beside you. Because he has to inhabit your praises, your people. He has to move. And then when you start praising him and your attitude starts changing, people are going to be drawn to you. Are you with me? You pray. The Bible says, make a joyful shout to the Lord. We got people come to this church say, you guys yell too much. Well, I'm not used to that. I said, well, that's fine if you're not used to it, but that's the problem. You're not doing what this says to do. You're doing what somebody up here says. Shh. Somebody reads really solemn and in the day of the Lord, praise God, and says, stand up. I'm sorry, but that's what happened. I said, I better not. Don't turn to the left. Don't fall asleep. Don't look at anybody. Don't say, how you doing? Make a joyful shout to the Lord. I ask you to give him praise over and over again because I want Second Congregational Church to be on fire for God. I want God to hear the praises of this church because I know he's looking down from heaven and everything else he's got to look at, he's still looking at this church because we're praising him in ways that we never praised him before together. Each Sunday, we praise him a different way. Amen? A new way. Hallelujah. You pray out loud to God. Those prayers, listen, words have. So when you praise God and you praise him with your mouth, where does the words go? Here. And you hear your praise, so they enter your spirit, so you get lifted up. Amen? And I'm going to tell you this. This is the truth. Well, everything I'm trying to tell you the truth. That was silly. The world, we say the world, but you know the people around you, wherever you are in your day, your job, whatever you're doing, they're going to hear you. They're going to hear you. And let me tell you what's going to happen. Some are going to laugh at you. Some are going to just laugh at you. Some are going to mock you. Some people are going to run away. I mean, that's what's going to happen. So just understand that when you're praising God in the middle of Walmart and somebody runs away, but let me tell you what else is going to happen. Some will follow. Yeah. Imagine that, Marcia. Some will follow. So you don't worry about the ones that run away and the ones that laugh and the ones that mock you because you're worried about the ones that want to hunger and who are going to follow, right? Bonnie, you know exactly what I'm saying. They want to know. They want to hear the word of God. They want to hear something good. So when you start to do that, some will follow. With your words, lives will change. And as you see the power of your praise, you will be changed. You will be transformed. Amen? Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. You will move God and please God. Now, I'm going to pray a prayer with you. You don't have to read it today with me, but I'm going to give you something you may have never read before, you may have never seen before, but I'm going to give you the most powerful prayer that if you want to read it every single day, I know we read the Lord's Prayer every week, but I'm going to give you a prayer to read that tells you how to move God. How many want to move God? If you really do, I'm going to give you a prayer to read. I'm going to read it to you. I want you to hear what it says, and this will move God. This one prayer has more power to change lives than you can even if you just do what the prayer says, and I'm going to read from Psalms. The longest Psalm is 119 and it starts at 169. You can write that down if you want. 119, 169. I'm going to read it to you right now. Listen to what it says. You want to move God? You said you did. It says, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Let my what? So that's noise, is it not? And it said, give me understanding according to your word. And say, Lord, let my supplication come before you. Now, what is supplication? That means you're saying something, amen? You're supplying him with your words, amen? You're supplying God with what? Your heart's desires. So you're doing it openly, amen? You're using your what? Words. Let my supplication come before you. And then you say, deliver me according to your word, Lord. Let my lips shall utter praise. Hallelujah. You want to move God? My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. Listen, my tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. And then you just look up and say, Lord, let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you. And let your judgments help me. Say, Lord, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. If you would just read that, 119, 169 to the end. And then I challenge you to do what it says. To do what it says. Cry out. Supplication. Speak. Because words have... In the beginning, God... How did he do it? He said, let there be. And faith comes by hearing the word of God. Amen. You want to move God in your life. You want God to move. You just follow his word. Because his word, the living word, amen, his living word, he has to listen. He gave us this word, amen. He gave us this word. So he said if he inhabits the praise of his people, that means wherever you are and you praise him, he is there. If you will do this prayer and then give him your supplication, you give him the desires of your heart. You talk to God, but do it openly. Say those words, and the more you praise him, the more they go in here and enter your heart. And next thing you know, you're praising God, and people think you're either crazy or they want every part of what you know. And that's how you move God, and that's how you move your life from depression, from despair, from worry, to victory. Amen? To victory after victory after victory, and then your faith. From faith to faith to faith, because we please God with one thing, our faith. Give him praise, church. Give him praise. Thank you, Lord. Then God said. We had a recount. Are we going to do a song? Joanne liked that.
Joyful bearer of good news, shout with a full voice, our God is near. Those who hope in the Lord have their strength renewed. They soar like an eagle, like an eagle they fly. Joyful bearer of good news, shout with a full voice, our God is near. Those who hope in the Lord never grow weary and never lose heart, should they walk or joyful bearer of good news, shout with a full voice, our God is near. See, the Lord is coming with strength, like a shepherd leading the flock. Joyful bearer of good news, shout with a full voice, our God is near. Jesus comes to us and our hearts will resound with such gladness all the days of our lives. joyful bearer of good news. Shout with a full voice, our God is near.
Lift up holy hands and praise the Lord. Just surrender to God. I'm telling you, this message today is so powerful for even for me, because we all have flesh and blood and we all fall short and we all speak things that we shouldn't and we all talk ourselves into negative. When God has said, I've given you all the tools you need to succeed, to have victory, and I want to see this church in victory. And by the way, speaking of which, we want to wish happy birthday to Deacon Jim Howe, Uncle Jimmy Howe. Even Jim's birthday today. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We had such a beautiful night last night. The church is really just alive. And I know folks wanted to retire this morning. They got home late and a lot of things going on. I know that George and Elaine are celebrating their great granddaughter's 8th birthday today. So there's a lot to celebrate. Hallelujah. There's a lot. We have a lot to be thankful for. I really do. Try not to focus on the things of the world, because they'll just drive you to just places you don't want to be. They'll add stress and worry in your life. Things you can't even control. You're worried about things you can't control. And we all have, the Bible says not to be wise in your own opinions. So we should understand that God is in control. And when you think it's the worst, maybe God's about ready to make it the best. So if you just trust Him, then all that stuff's put away and all those worries are put away. And you have just enough for today to have some joy. And you have a lot to be thankful for. The first is that you woke up and you came to church this morning and you were able to do that. The sun is shining. It's a beautiful day. God is blessing us. And I want this message to bless you. So use your words with God. Praise Him. Read that in the Bible. Hallelujah. The woman came up to me last night and she said, you really love Jesus. I said, you have no idea. Every day more. Because every day I know that I need Him more than I did the day before. Every day that I know that if I didn't have Him in my life, I don't know where I would be, but I know that it wouldn't be good. So I just love Him. As we share the Lord's Supper in this church, we're simply just remembering what He did for us on that cross. He loved us before we first loved Him. He loved us. He sent His only begotten Son here. He sent Him here for us. And we do this in remembrance of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we're in a place where we're free to worship You. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You gave us a way where there was no way. You gave us a spirit of strength, a spirit of hope, a spirit of victory in all things. All things. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says He sends angels sometimes to visit us. He might send an angel sometime just to meet you. You might give somebody a drink of water that might have been an angel. I pray that if He sends an angel into this church, that that angel will hear praise from all of our lips. And that angel will see joy in this church. People loving God, loving His word, loving each other, lifting each other. Hallelujah. And that angel will hear us praising the Father. And if He was in this house right now, that angel would see us. Praise God. That sounds fine. Silly man. Thank you. Made a joyful noise to the Lord. Hallelujah. What Jesus did for us, he simply said to do this in remembrance of him, in Jesus' name. Pour the wine into a cup, and he told his disciples, this is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. Remember, they didn't understand what he was saying. We do. We understand. For the remission of our sins according to the book of Matthew. We do this in remembrance of Jesus.
Those are real candles. Those are warm.
You might say, Pastor, I like to pray quietly, and that's quite all right. You say, Lord, because it's meditation. When you're praying quietly, meditate on his word. Meditate on his promises. Just meditate on who he is. But when you talk to God, talk to him. Let him hear your praise. Let him hear your supplication. That's communication with God. That's acknowledging his presence in front of you, that you're talking to him standing there. That's faith. Giving him praise is faith. Openly saying, thank you, Lord. Faith. Praying in a restaurant. Faith. Some people will look with disdain. Other people will look and say, I wish we did that. Those are the people we will reach. Hallelujah. Those are the ones that we're looking for. Thank you, Lord. Drawing others to Jesus with our words. Overcoming depression with our words. Anxiety with our words. Worry with our words. Overcoming that. Seeing that here we are in December and all that you worried about is behind. Today is your day. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this church, for this building. Thank you for those who had the faith to keep the doors open. Let them know what they've done, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said to drink and do this in remembrance of him in Jesus' name. Being in obedience to the word is so good. Give him praise, church. Give him praise. Be in obedience to the word. Deacon Jim made that noise. I laughed. Some church is to throw you out. You get excommunicated now. Somebody asked me a most beautiful question last night about God. Let's be real. They were talking about The Coat of Many Colors, the movie, and where Dolly, was it Dolly that sees the angel in the sky? And they said, do you think that was real? And I said to Dolly, it sure was. If somebody said it wasn't, I wouldn't want to stand there. And to Dolly, with her heart of a child, saw the angel. To Dolly, it was real. To me, that's my God. My God will touch you when you let him. My God will touch you when you accept him as that child. He will show you things because he knows that you will believe, that you hunger as a child to see it. Then he will show you. He will show you because you have that spirit like Dolly had. So somebody, well, I don't know if that was real. It doesn't matter to me what you know. To Dolly, that was an angel from God. And she carried that. She still, all her life, that made her be the girl that she was. was, the little girl growing up, because she saw an angel. Who's to say? Amen? God does that for his children because her heart was ready to receive. You start praising him. You start reading that little bit of... You might say, well, how do you find these things in the Bible? How do you find each... Because I'm talking to God. He's showing me... All of a sudden, God will show me one thing. Sometimes it changes by Thursday. You do a Bible study, and I know you make that thing up, but I bet sometimes it just changes, and you don't even go to where your Bible study was because God says, good boy, I'm glad you got a lot of work. You're going to use that, but tonight I want you to do this. He's done that so many times, and I like that because it tells me that I'm not listening to me. I'm listening to God. I'm willing to change, but I pray each week to show me something. I have my books. How many times I've said there's so many books to read, but different books will touch you that might not touch me, but I have these books that I look at and I read and they feed me, and then I go right back to the Word of God, and these messages to me touch me and touch us in this church. Amen. Hallelujah. Give him praise again, church.